You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In a week where Cricket Australia announced its 2023-24 schedule and therefore our holiday itinerary for the summer, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Australia's summer of cricket has been revealed, with the men's side to play three tests against Pakistan starting in Perth on November 14. That's a dog's breakfast, isn't it?
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke and a random newsreader who got distracted halfway through his newsread by footage of somebody dropping a catch, a dog's breakfast of a drop catch.
He wasn't referring to the dates.
I don't think so, no. But, well, he might have been, because he got the dates wrong. He said that the tests start in November. They actually start in December, or the men's tests.
Right.
Okay. December 14th, starting Perth. And then you got the usual Boxing Day and New Year test. That's against Pakistan. And, so we're hoping that the Perth crowds come out for this one. There was, you know, not a great crowd last year. Lots of reasons for that. But
I can't even remember the Perth test last year.
Yeah, well, not many people in Perth can remember it either, because I don't think many of them watched it. We did have Christina Matthews, who's the CEO of the WACA. She came out to explain the reasons for the poor test crowd. She said, "We were coming off the back of poor treatment of Justin Langer by Cricket Australia, which I think the Western Australian public didn't take very well, understandably." And it's the understandably that I love. I just like, I like the idea that, you know, I'm sure you can understand why an entire state would swear off a sport because of our very understandable devotion to one random coach.
Yeah, Justin Langer, the only draw card for Test cricket.
Yeah,
you know, without him, who watches?
Yep.
What will be their excuse this year?
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm sure it'll be very understandable.
Will it be Sean Marsh retiring?
I hope so.
I think that'll be the excuse.
Yeah. The men then go on to play the West Indies at Adelaide and Brisbane at the back end of January, so we have some time off for the Big Bash, and then they come back and play some tests against the West Indies. And I think one of those is a day-night test, but it's not the one you expect. I think Brisbane get the day-night test this year, and Adelaide miss out.
Actually, I would expect that the day-night test would be those people who attempt to drive from Adelaide to Brisbane to watch both matches, right?
Yeah.
That's a good day-night test.
Worth a crack. Yes. Then there's, you know, random ODIs and T20s against the West Indies. But the women also play the West Indies. They start the summer from the beginning of October, so the 1st of October. They've got three T20s and three ODIs against the West Indies. And the first match, this is what I like, first match takes place the exact same day as the NRL Grand Final.
Fantastic. Well, that's more like it. If we're not freezing our bits off for the first cricket watching of the year, it's not early enough. I mean, the instant the AFL NRL final final finishes. It's cricket. It's cricket o'clock.
Yeah, you know, I think they're probably going to squeeze in just before the NRL Grand Final because that takes place at night, the NRL Grand Final. So I think if you're in Sydney, you can go watch the women play at North Sydney Oval, chop off the bridge, over you go.
That's
go
right.
Watch the NRL Grand Final. That's it. Done with any form of football. Let's get into the
cricket. Doing a biathlon. Is that what you call it? A biathlon of cricket and NRL on the same day?
Yes. And then after the, you know, all the other stuff for the summer, the women come back and they play a multi-format series against South Africa. This goes from the end of January to February 18th. And
this is fantastic. I mean, this is a test that we haven't seen between South Africa and Australia.
Yeah, well, South Africa have lost a lot of players recently, but still, hopefully they'll be at least somewhat competitive in the test. Yeah. Are we going to go to that test? Are we off to the Wacker?
Yes, I think I can put my understandable angst at the treatment of Justin Langer and the retirement of Sean Marsh aside to watch the women's test.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the IPL. And there, you know, there's loads of games since we last recorded.
We've been covering the IPL for at least 6 months.
It never ends. But we're just going to highlight a couple of our favourite matches featuring the Rajasthan Royals. So we've got a couple of good games here. So we've got one game against the Sunrisers Hyderabad. So what happened in this game?
Well, they beat them. So the Sunrisers chased down whatever it was, 215 runs, a decent score. But the Royals look like they were going to win this one, right?
Yeah, they had they needed 41 runs, well, they were defending 41 runs off the last two overs. Mm. So they seemed pretty safe.
Mm.
And then Kuldeep Yadav came on to bowl the penultimate over.
Well, he shouldn't have been doing fast bowling, should he?
No. So this isn't your pick for most wickets in your betting pool, right?
No, and indeed it's a worse bowl.
if that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is Kuldeep with Kuldip Yadav as opposed to Kuldeep. And he's a left-arm fast-medium bowler for the Royals. And he conceded 24 runs off the second last over. And then that meant they needed 17 runs. They still had 17 runs to defend, which you should mostly do. Anyway, all kinds of chaos. All came down to a six needed from the final ball to win or a four for a super over. And instead the batter, who was Abdel Samad, he was caught in the deep. And everybody started Woo-hoo. In the Royals, celebrating. It's very exciting. And then what happened?
Then there was a no-ball siren. Yes. So goodness me, you guys, you death bowlers, you need to be a little bit better at this. So, of course, the ball was re-bowled, smash for six.
Yep.
And
the other team reversed. Did the celebrating.
Yeah, that's right. We've had this quite a number of times in the IPL. One team celebrates, the decision changes, and then the other team has to celebrate.
I'd like the no-ball siren to go off during a presentation ceremony one time. Like someone's up getting a, you know, player of the match. Virat Kohli's getting his, you know, standard player of the match trophy. Then all of a sudden the siren goes off. They all scuttle back to their positions and bowl the last ball
out
again.
There you go.
Yes. Anyway, so that was a really good chase. But there was a less good chase also featuring the Royals. This was the Royals doing the chasing this time. This was against RCB.
Yeah, this is against our team, RCB. We were keeping half an eye on this match, weren't we? Watching it and going, goodness, what's going on here?
Yeah, so RCB batted first. They made 5 for 171 from their 20 overs, which was okay. Not great. There's been lots of 200-plus scores this IPL.
Yeah, it was good for Maxwell, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got 54 off not many balls. Of course, outscored by Faf.
Yes. Again, another bet of yours falling apart.
Always outscored by Faf.
Yes.
Poor old Glenn Maxwell.
Yes.
Get in a different team next time.
Yep. In reply, the Royals lost both their openers for ducks. They were 2 for 6 after 8 balls. Then they were 5 for 28 after the power play, 6 overs. Then there was a teeny tiny comeback in the form of Shimron Hetmeyer, who came in and hit 3 consecutive sixes, but then Maxwell got him out.
Yeah, good work.
And then the Royals were all out for 59 off 10.3 overs. So a couple of very entertaining losses for the Royals there. Which is the worst way to lose out of the two of them? Is it worse to lose, you know, defending a massive total and then having a no ball, you know, curtail your celebrations? Or is it worse to chase a mediocre total and then collapse in about 10 overs and have your net run rate obliterated? overrated.
It depends whether you're a batter or a bowler, of course. Yeah. If you're a batter, you definitely don't want to go the second way, and the bowler's not too happy about the first way. So,
well, I think the collapse is slightly better because at least all the batters can share that out. Everyone's so terrible. It's not just one poor bowler copping the blame.
Yeah.
So, and you do get to go home early if you do it that way. So.
Yeah, I guess so. There is a bonus. Anyway. They can go and watch the NRL Grand Final.
Exactly, yes. And how are your bets going?
Well, I think it's dreadful when cricket podcasts encourage gambling. I would never do that, especially when my bets are going so badly. So next year, it's faff. Faff all the way, baby.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, so I have a new book out, and it's called...
You have a new book out every week.
I know, I'm a machine. I'm churning them all out, getting them all done. This one's called CRICKET, and it's an acronym, but it's also a comedy cricket book compiling, you know, the whole heap of comedy cricket writing that I've written all over the place, and I've just gathered it all together.
And tell us what the acronym stands for.
I don't remember off the top of my head. It's on the front cover of the book.
Stands for whatever you like.
It does, yeah. So you can make something up, and, you know, there's all kinds of pieces in there. There's the Pat Cummins Guide to Handsomely Doing Cryptic Crosswords. So that'll teach you how to do cryptic crosswords. And then you could do three cryptic crosswords that are in the book, along with some solutions to help you out. There's some mysteries featuring a cricket tragic detective. There's a Mr. Men parody. And there is, of course, my report card for the ultimate form of cricket, three-team cricket. So loads and loads more. And you can get it all from my online store.
And I hear it's selling out.
It is.
I mean, you need to get into this early, people.
Yes, it did. I did have some supply issues early, but they're being rectified right now. So go to leibcricket.com/store and get your copy right now.
Let's play. Are you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer?
We have a quiz. We have a kind of a multiple choice quiz for everyone listening to play along with. And Dan is going to see if he knows the answers to these.
Yes. Am I smarter than a fifth grade cricketer?
That's right. They are kind of leading questions. We're going to test how closely you've been keeping up with all the pre-Ashes banter, the Ashes chat that's been taking place, even though we're still a month or so away from... Yeah. Are we only a month away from the first test?
A month away from the first test, yes.
Amazing.
Yes, very exciting. Prime time for just talking nonsense about what's going to happen because nobody can be bothered waiting that
Indeed.
Month.
So we have a number of questions, only four questions for you.
Yep.
The first one, why was Michael Nisa added to Australia's pre-training Ashes camp? Where are they for their Ashes camp?
Oh, they're over in England somewhere. I think they're playing golf and then they're having an Ashes camp.
I think they're playing county cricket during the day and golf on the weekend, and that counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got some possible answers for you. Listen closely. Was he added to the pre-training Ashes camp because of his excellent bowling in county cricket, including a hat trick against Yorkshire, or because of his dependable lower order batting, including an 86 for Glamorgan, or because of the hashtag Nisa must be added to Australia's pre-training Ashes camp, which is a kind of long hashtag, or is it all of the above?
It's definitely all of the above. Bowling well, batting well, hashtagging well.
Indeed. And who knows if he'll be in the Ashes, but that doesn't really matter.
Yes. And I hear that Sean Abbott has also been added to the camp, and presumably just to keep Nisa company, right?
One of them in the top bunk, one of them in the bottom bunk. Yeah. You're going to have a lot of fun at the camp. Anyway, question two. So correct. All of the above is correct.
Yep.
Question two. What has been the most audacious Steve Smith shot during his stint at Sussex playing county cricket? Was it a caress drive for four off the bowling of Josh Tongue before the bowler came back to trap him LBW for 30? Or was it his single to get off the mark to Tom Scriven in a second match before he was LBW to Mulder for 3? These are not very audacious so far, are they?
No,
but anyway,
they're not.
Or was it Wisden's shot that Sussex would be a more dangerous side without Smith in the 11?
It's got to be Wisden's shot, surely. I don't think Steve Smith's playing any shots himself, so it's good that other people are taking shots at him.
Yes, a lot of people are taking shots. And, I mean, the side, obviously, that's a pretty nasty thing for Wisden to say. And it's definitely just pre-Ashes banter, right?
I think so, yeah. But it is true. I mean, Sussex could be far more dangerous without Steve Smith in their starting lineup. They could, like, put a bear trap in to bat at number four and that'd be very dangerous. Imagine a bowler coming in and just falls into a bear trap.
That's right.
More dangerous.
They could put an AI in there.
Yes.
To bat instead.
Yep.
I think if they replaced him with Faf, That'd be more dangerous for sure.
Yes, yes. Speaking of danger, we did also have a news report came out which said Jofra Archer terrorised Australia's Batters Last Ashes series. And right. Smith replied, Smith got angry at this claim that he'd been terrorised by Jofra Archer. And he replied, terrorised? And then kind of an emoji looking confused. Remind me when I was dismissed by him, ... So yeah, a bit of shots fired there from Steve Smith. But Steve Smith was, knocked out for 30% of the series thanks to Jofra Archer.
That's right. He wasn't dismissed by him. He was literally knocked out by him.
Yeah, so it's probably not surprising he doesn't remember that portion of the Ashes series.
Well, maybe they should have been in question too, the more audacious shot there by Steve Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I was terrified and terrorised by Jofra Archer and I was just watching. So I think it's okay to say he was pretty terrifying.
That's right. And Jofra Archer is, not going to play, but he's still pretty terrifying just in the memory there.
Yes.
Anyway, question three. So I think you are correct. 2 out of 2 so far. Which England fast bowler's body part has caused the most frenetic writing from England cricket journalists over the past week? They all have body parts, of course, but we're going to refer to, was it Jofra Archer's elbow, his famous elbow? Was it Ollie Stone's hamstring?
Yep.
Was it Jimmy Anderson's groin?
Well, these are all good candidates.
Sorry for that visual, everybody. Or was it Stuart Broad's mouth?
I mean, there has been a lot of writing about poor old Jofra's elbow now that he is out for the not going to be playing in the Ashes.
Yeah.
But I think Stuart Broad's mouth might still have him trumped. Just Stuart Broad is getting away with a lot of nonsense.
He certainly is. He's everywhere. He's doing a piece of social media every day that goes everywhere.
Yeah, he did a Marmite commercial. Did you see this one?
Yeah, I saw the Marmite commercial. That was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost qualifies as a Mueller nomination, right?
I think so, yeah. We may have to come back and investigate the Marmite commercial in greater detail in a future episode because it was very strange. But yes.
It was also very long. Did you watch it?
It was very long. Yeah, it went for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like they should have perhaps edited it. But anyway. Mm. That is, I think, 3 out of 3 if you're going with Stuart Broad's mouth.
Yes. Yes, I am.
And no putting Jofra Archer's elbow in Stuart Broad's mouth either.
No. That would be very dangerous.
Indeed.
Can't be terrorising Stuart Broad's mouth.
So question four. When it comes to opening batters for the Ashes, what has been the wildest suggestion yet?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Michael Vaughan's claim that Mitchell Marsh should open the batting for Australia?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it newspaper reports that Ben Stokes is considering opening the batting for England, of course? Mm-hmm. Or is it the England selectors continuing to insist that Zach Crawley is worth persevering with?
Oh, I think it's option three, surely.
Indeed. There's been a lot said about that one too, but I reckon it's probably, they're all pretty wild. So whichever one you pick, you are getting it right.
All right.
4 is all of the above, but I think you've picked number 3 and that is correct as well. But all of the above, because Michael Vaughan's suggestion was really quite crazy. I mean, he may as well have said that, I don't know, that Tim Payne should open the batting.
Yeah. Well, I do like it when former England captains, particularly ones as parochial as Michael Vaughan, just decide, oh, I'm going to give Australia some advice. Yeah, we should definitely be paying attention to what Michael Vaughan thinks is a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got nothing against Mitch Marsh having a go at opening the batting, but if anything, Michael Vaughan's insistence that he should do it makes me less interested in the idea.
Yeah.
I mean, if Mitch Marsh did open the batting, that might get Western Australians to show up to the test next time.
I think he has to at least open in WA.
So maybe that's what Michael Vaughan's talking about.
Yeah. That's I think, 4 out of 4.
I think
you're 100%. You have to be smarter than a fifth grade cricketer today.
Excellent.
And on Ashes banter at least.
Yeah. Well, we've still got a month of Ashes banter to go. So God help us all.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
So it's time for the Muller. Underappreciated and sometimes dumb acts in cricket during the past week or however long it's been since we had a podcast or indeed since you last listened. I mean,
yes.
People listen at all different times.
Yep.
You might have listened to one of us
yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep. I've got a nomination. So I've got Disney Plus. It lost millions of subscribers, and all the blue ticks, all the people who like to pay money to Elon Musk, they all jumped on and they said, Disney Plus, see, this is what happens when you know, you're too woke. That's just why you're losing all your viewers. Yeah. And it did turn out that mostly Disney Plus lost millions of subscribers almost precisely because they lost the streaming rights to the IPL. What else have we got?
Well, we also have the ICC. Now, they've decided they're going to make some changes to some playing conditions, as they do. But this is just before the World Test Championship final, and they're making changes to that tournament, right?
Yeah, so they've had an entire tournament that ran over 3 years and played under different rules than what the final is going to be played in. So, yeah, they're very strange, very strange. I think the major change is that there are going to be no more soft signals.
That's good. The soft signals, such a lovely part of cricket, though. Yeah. And, it's a bit of a shame that we're losing it.
Yeah. So, now umpires will just send them up. They're not going to try. They're not going to help the third umpire at all. Just like, over to you, dude. Yeah. If you don't have any footage, not my problem.
You're on your own.
You're just going to have to make a guess and, don't call on us to sort it out. The ICC did explain why they got rid of soft signals. They said it was unclear whether the soft signal should stay or go. So we reverted to the opinion of those experts with the clearest view of the situation, which is always a wise policy.
Well, that's right. That's indeed getting rid of the soft signals for soft signals. But I hope the players continue to give soft signals.
Yes.
I think there's a massive opportunity here for the third umpire to go, well, yeah, umpires are not allowed to give the soft signals, but Stark said it was out.
Yeah. I'm sure that'd be right. I think, the should just go back to the honour system. Like, if the umpires don't know, just
ask the player.
Why would they lie? They wouldn't lie.
They never would.
Exactly. The other change was that helmets are now mandatory for high-risk situations. This includes facing fast bowlers, fielding in close, standing up to the stumps, and playing golf. So,
yes, of course. This wasn't already a rule.
No, it was a recommendation, and now it's not a choice anymore. You can't go in there bareheaded like some crazed Richie
Maxwell.
Richardson or something. Yes.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. Well, I mean, presumably these rules are going to be the same for both teams in the World Test final.
Oh, they may change halfway through the test.
Who knows?
Speaking of the ICC, we do have another kind of ICC nomination.
Another nomination. They nominated twice.
Yeah, so this is there for their proposed funding model, because that came out. This is the funding model where India get 38.5% of the revenue. England get 6.89%, Australia 6.25%, Pakistan 5.75%, and pretty much all the other test nations somewhere in the 4-5% range.
Right.
This is pretty disappointing, isn't it, particularly for the BCCI.
Yeah, it's very unfair for the poor old BCCI.
Yeah.
Insufficient share.
Don't even get 50% of the revenue. Yeah. They're very sad for them. They should at least be aiming for a pass mark, right?
Indeed they should. And there's just been a lot of uproar about this. But the variables, I looked them up, they include, what do they judge this on? They judge it on cricket history is one of the variables.
Yep.
Performance in both men's and women's ICC events over the last 16 years, I think it is.
Yep.
And this one, which may be weighted a bit more highly, contribution to the ICC's commercial revenue.
I think the BCCI provides like 99% of that.
So that's possibly the reason there. So anyway, that's another Muller nomination. So far, we've nominated Disney, ICC and ICC.
Yes.
So no humans yet.
No humans yet. And probably some humans are going to get the next nomination because this is maybe this is just a cricket match will get a nomination. So this is a county cricket game between Leicestershire and Derbyshire. This was just a nice little fun tweak at the end here. So Leicestershire were bowled out for 281. So they had a lead of 53 and there were only 3 overs left in the day. But 3 overs to get 53, it's tricky, but it's not impossible.
Could be done with reckless batting.
Yeah, I mean, it could be done by, if you got no ball sirens going off for the death. Anything's possible. Anyway, so they were keen for the chase. And then somebody reminded everybody that they needed to subtract 2 overs for the change of innings. And then everybody started squabbling about whether this was necessary. The umpires weren't sure. They kind of forgot that existed. And then they were finally convinced we do have to subtract that. So, in fact, you're supposed to be getting 53 off 1 over. But because they took so long to kind of sort this out, they took about 20 minutes to sort this out at the end of the day, which is why there were only 3 overs left. And then after all the delays, Leicestershire were suddenly at risk of losing a point for a slow over rate. So they had to scurry and get through an over of dot balls. So I think that was a very silly end to a very silly county
cricket
match.
Yes, add a lot of tension to that final. They know how to build a story, don't they? And have a proper climax.
Yeah.
Twists and turns. Yes. I mean, the plot twists were incredible.
Yeah. So what gets the muller, do we think?
We're not going to nominate Stuart Broad for making ads with the Marmy Army.
Let's give it to Stuart Broad for the Marmy Army.
The Marmy Army, the Marmite ad with the Marmy Army. Wonderful acting from Stuart Broad. And the fact that he sponsors Marmite, I love Marmite.
Do you?
Marmite's really good. I just don't eat as much bread as I used to, so not many opportunities to eat Marmite without bread. But Marmite is quite delicious. I think it's nice, quietly nicer than Vegemite.
Oh, dear. Well, you should go do an ad with Stuart Broad then.
Yeah, yes. He obviously loves Marmite.
Well, being paid an awful lot by them, one or the other.
The money of Marmite.
Yes. Marmite money gives Stuart Broad a muller.
Yes. Much more fun than giving it to an organisation or, in fact, an artificial intelligence of any kind.
Yes. So I think that's it. You've been listening to me. I'm Dan Libke at Lieb Cricket, and you've been listening to Kat Jones, and she is at Cricket Bat Kat. Those handles work on both Twitter and Mastodon. You can follow us on Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl Can't Throw, and we will catch you all next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.